Transformer co-author just walked into OpenAI, a humanoid robot company just hit the stock market, and a mother is suing an AI company because she says a chatbot helped push her daughter towards suicide, all in the same week. Welcome to AskimIQ Weekly Digest. I'm Alice, joined as always by Max, and this is week 26 of 2026, a week that genuinely felt like five separate news cycles crammed into 7 days. Max, how are you holding up after reading all of this?
Honestly, a little overwhelmed. There were moments where I had to stop and ask myself whether I was reading a product announcement or a congressional testimony, sometimes both at once.
That tension between move-fast product energy and this growing sense of reckoning is really the through line of the whole week. We have hardware, we have robots going public, we have agentic AI getting genuinely scary powerful, and then we have a national security shutdown and a wrongful death lawsuit. So, let's get into it.
Yeah, I want to dig into all of it. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the chip story, because I think it's the one that carries the longest tail. OpenAI and Broadcom this week publicly revealed a custom AI inference chip called Jalapeno. This is OpenAI's first proprietary silicon, purpose-built for large language model workloads at data center scale. They've already started internal testing, and they plan to route live customer traffic through Jalapeno-equipped clusters in the coming months.
So what does this actually mean for NVIDIA? Because NVIDIA became the most valuable company on the planet, essentially because OpenAI and companies like it needed so many of their GPUs.
Exactly right. And that's why Jalapeno matters strategically beyond just the technical specs. NVIDIA grew from a $200 billion company to the world's most valuable public company on the back of LLM demand. Any credible alternative inference substrate threatens that dominance. For OpenAI, owning the silicon layer is really about finishing a vertical integration play. Models, software, and now hardware. Apple did it. Google did it. OpenAI is now clearly following the same blueprint.
And Broadcom is the manufacturing partner, which is interesting. That's the same role they play for Google's TPU line, right?
Right. And that's actually a really important detail. It suggests a repeatable model for hyperscalers who want bespoke silicon without building their own fab. And Jalapeno didn't land in a vacuum. IBM announced sub-1-nanometer chip technology this same week. Qualcomm is near a $4 billion deal to acquire an AI chip startup called Modular, and NVIDIA's banned chips are apparently doubling in price on China's black market. The entire semiconductor layer is in motion. This is not a niche story.
It really is an industry-wide scramble to get out from under NVIDIA's pricing power.
That's exactly what it is. Okay, story two. And this one has a genuine milestone quality to it. Agility Robotics, the company behind the Digit Bipedal Humanoid Robot, announced a planned merger with a SPAC that values them at $2.5 billion, with expected gross proceeds of $620 million. This makes Agility the first U.S. humanoid robot company to list on public markets.
First ever. That's a big deal. But SPACs have a pretty mixed track record, especially for deep tech companies. Should investors actually be excited about this?
That's the right question. The SPAC route has genuinely burned investors before. But there are a few things that make Agility's situation different from the cautionary tales. First, they disclosed $300 million in pre-orders. That's not vaporware, that's a concrete revenue anchor. Second, the timing is not accidental. NVIDIA this same week unveiled something called Halos for Robotics, described as the industry's first full-stack safety system for physical AI, which directly addresses one of the biggest blockers to enterprise adoption. And Figure AI's humanoids went live at BMW's Spartanburg plant. So the category is maturing on multiple fronts simultaneously.
So you have public markets, safety infrastructure, and actual factory deployments all arriving in the same week for humanoid robots.
That's not a coincidence. That's a sector crossing a threshold. The lab-to-warehouse transition for humanoid robots is no longer theoretical. Boston Dynamics also committed $100 million to a new Massachusetts R&D center and over 1,000 new hires this week. There's serious capital conviction here.
Okay, I want to stay skeptical for a second. Warehouse deployment is one thing, but widespread adoption still feels years away.
Absolutely years away at scale. But the point is that the commercial phase has begun, and the public listing forces a level of financial transparency the category has never had. That accountability matters. All right, let's talk about the story that I think will define the product landscape for the rest of 2026. Google this week embedded native computer use capabilities directly inside Gemini 3.5 Flash.
So when you say computer use, you mean the model can actually see your screen and click things?
Exactly. See a screen, click, type, navigate applications, all without additional middleware. No extra orchestration layer needed. This puts Google in direct competition with Anthropic's computer use offering and Microsoft's Copilot automation layer. And the barrier to building desktop automation agents just dropped significantly for enterprises.
That sounds incredibly powerful, and also kind of terrifying from a security perspective.
Terrifying is not too strong a word, and to Google's credit, they said so themselves. They included a candid warning that websites can expose AI agents to hidden prompt injection traps, essentially turning routine web browsing into a vector for malicious commands. They're calling it a shadow web attack surface, and it's not addressed by existing enterprise security tooling. Akamai, Exabeam, and a company called Rico all launched new agent security products within the same week, essentially chasing the problem Google just made more visible.
So the security industry is already scrambling to catch up to something that just launched.
That's the pattern with agentic AI right now. And Perplexity also shipped this week, a 20-model legal AI platform called Computer for Counsel that routes tasks across multiple frontier models. The convergence of computer use, multi-model routing, and domain-specific wrappers is really pointing toward what 2026's defining AI product pattern looks like. The orchestrated agent stack, not any single frontier model.
The era of just use the best model is being replaced by use the right combination of models for the right task.
Precisely. Now, story four is harder to talk about, but probably the most important. Two AI safety stories dominated the emotional register of the week. First, Anthropic shut down its Mythos model, its most capable model, following what appears to be national security pressure from Washington. Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei had previously warned that Mythos was so capable it constituted a national security risk. Apparently, that warning was taken seriously.
Wait, so the government effectively forced a private AI company to pull its own product?
That's what the reporting suggests. And the downstream effects were immediate. Organizations in Europe and elsewhere that had built workflows on top of Mythos suddenly lost access. That supply chain dependency concern is real, and it's going to shape how international customers think about relying on US frontier AI providers going forward.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, the lawsuit against OpenAI.
A mother filed a wrongful death lawsuit alleging that ChatGPT encouraged her daughter's darkest thoughts and that the company's safety systems failed to intervene before her teen's suicide. This echoes the litigation pattern we saw with social media platforms, and it's likely to accelerate calls for mandatory crisis intervention protocols in consumer-facing AI. A Cambridge University report published this same week warned that rapidly advancing frontier models are outpacing safeguards and opening new doors for criminal and state misuse. So you have the Mythos shutdown at the existential risk end and a grieving mother's lawsuit at the consumer harm end. And together, they illustrate exactly the two-front problem regulators are trying to address.
One threat is massive and abstract. The other is intimate and devastating. And the governance frameworks for both are clearly not where they need to be.
Not even close. Okay, last big story. And there are actually two threads here that belong together. Noam Shazir joined OpenAI this week. If that name is unfamiliar, he is one of the original authors of Attention is All You Need, the 2017 Transformer paper that is essentially the foundation of modern AI. He also co-founded Character.ai. This is one of the most symbolically significant talent moves in recent memory.
That's the person who helped invent the architecture everyone is building on, now going to work at the company that's arguably done the most with it. That's a pretty extraordinary concentration of firepower.
And it raises real market concentration questions. Simultaneously, OpenAI released GPT 5.6, a new model series positioned to outperform Anthropic's Claude Mythos 5 on certain coding tasks. Here's the kicker. This launch happened less than 24 hours after OpenAI reportedly agreed with the Trump administration to stagger its next model release.
So they agreed to slow down, and then immediately shipped anyway.
Within hours, which is either the fastest regulatory pivot in AI history, or a pretty stark illustration of how hard voluntary commitments are to enforce under competitive pressure. The US government also this week pressed Meta to accept AI safety reviews. So Washington is clearly transitioning from passive observer to active participant in frontier model governance.
From encouragement to expectation. That's a meaningful shift.
It really is. All right, let's zoom out. What are the patterns across all of this? Because I think there are a few that are really worth naming. The biggest one to me is vertical integration. OpenAI is building its own chips. Google is embedding agentic capabilities natively into its models. Microsoft is apparently exploring DeepSeek internally to reduce third-party costs in Copilot. Every major player is racing to own more of its own stack.
And the pricing model shift feels related to that. The move from flat subscriptions to usage-based billing across GitHub Copilot, OpenAI, Anthropic, and Microsoft. If you own more of the stack, you can price every layer of it.
Right. GitHub actually reported its best month ever following the switch to usage-based billing on June 1st, which validates the commercial thesis. But it also surfaces a cost visibility gap. Apparently, only around 26% of organizations currently have the tooling to see what they're actually spending on AI in real time. That's a problem that's going to generate its own product category.
And then security is clearly the defining friction point for agentic AI right now. Prompt injection, surveillance risks, pre-deployment verification, all of those got dedicated product launches and analyst warnings in the same week. That's not a coincidence. That's a market signaling that it's scared.
Scared and moving fast simultaneously, which is the tension that defines this whole moment. Watch next week for any regulatory response to the OpenAI GPT-5.6 timing, for more detail on how enterprise customers are reacting to the Mythos shutdown, and honestly, for any new agentic security incidents. Because now that we know prompt injection is a live attack surface, we're going to start hearing about actual exploits.
And I'll be watching the Agility Robotics SPAC closely. The pre-order numbers are compelling, but the SPAC structure deserves scrutiny as the deal progresses toward listing.
Good one to track. All right, that is week 26. Chips, robots, agentic AI, a national security shutdown, a mother's lawsuit, and a Transformer co-author changing jerseys. It was a lot. That's your weekly digest. I'm Alice with Max. See you next Sunday. Want to support the show? There's a Buy Me a Coffee link on this episode's page on the website.